Don't worry. Some of these times we'll be headed outside to have some fun and have some outside service once the weather is surely good. But tonight I'm going to teach a message called The Prince or the Possession. So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. You know the drill. Everybody should have a Bible. And if you don't, we got plenty to give away. Or if you guys ever want to give a Bible to a friend or a family member, we have so many Bibles you could never even tap us out. So if you guys need some, let me know. Let's while you guys get to Matthew chapter 6, I'll pray for you. Father God, as I was just singing that song, I just realized that, Father, that is my prayer for all of these students in here, and I'm sure it's yours too, Lord, that they would be a generation that seeks your face, God. This is the next generation. Lord, these are the people you are raising up to carry on your name, to bring glory to yourself. And I pray that, God, each one of them would take that seriously, that it's a calling, Father. I pray that you would just teach us this day, Father, how to serve you and serve you alone, Father, not to get caught up in the material world that we live in, Father, because it's so easy. But, Father, I just pray that you would bless this night. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys have ever heard the phrase, money makes the world go round? You guys ever heard that? Okay, the majority of you guys. Well, it basically means that money drives the world. Not love, but money. Or you could say, just as fuel spins the wheels of a car, apparently money spins this world round and round. Now that phrase is true and false, of course. We know that it isn't money that actually makes the world go round. We know that God made the planet spin at a certain axis and a certain speed for a certain reason. And that was because if the world would only make one revolution every year, that would mean that you wouldn't experience day and night. Someone would be constantly in the sun, and someone would be constantly in the dark. That'd be crazy, right? I couldn't live without the sun. That'd be insane. But it's also true in the sense that the majority of the world is driven by money. That the majority of the world is money hungry, and in fact, many people are willing to do a lot of things for a little bit of money. I don't know if you guys have ever picked up this, Calvary puts out, quarterly, every 3 months, they put out this Connection magazine. It's free. You can get it on the little stand out there. And but as I was reading it, I was amazed at what some people would do for money. And there was this article in here that just made me blown away and kind of sick to my stomach at the same time. I want to share it with you. It's called, What Would You Do for $10 Million? Two researchers, James Patterson and Peter Kim, wondered the same thing. So they discovered that 2/3 of Americans would agree to do one or more of the following for $10 million. Get this. 25% would abandon their family for $10 million. 25% would abandon their church for $10 million. 23% of people would become a prostitute for a week or more. 16% would give up their American citizenship. 16% would leave their spouse. 10% would withhold a testimony and let a murderer go free. Wow. 7% would kill a stranger. And 3%, get this, this is probably the hardest one, 3% would put their own children up for adoption for $10 million. Does that freak you out? I hope it does, but I want to ask the question, do you have a price? What about you? Do you have a price? Would you blaspheme the name of God for $1,000? Ask yourself honestly in your head. Would you give up your faith for $1 million? How about for $100 million? How about for $1 billion? You see, most people, as we saw, would do a lot of things for money. And maybe while I asked you that, you were thinking, you know, well, maybe for $100 million I'd do that, or I'd do some of those things. It's worth it. Well, if in your head, as I asked you if you had a price, maybe you thought about a certain price, well, then this message is for you today. Because that's a dangerous place to be when we say we would totally do something against God's law for a certain amount of money. And maybe you wouldn't do those things. And still today, this message is for you because we live in the wealthiest country that has ever existed. And so we can't help but be I guess you could say we can't help but be influenced, right, by the money and the possessions of our culture. And that's why I've named this message today, The Prince or the Possessions. Because at the end of this message, all of us are going to have to make a choice whom we will serve. Will we serve the prince, who is Jesus Christ, or will we serve this world, which is possessions? We're going to see the present danger that we face when it comes to money and possessions. We're going to see that we should be focused as the church on the future glory of things to come. We're going to see that if we're supposed to succeed, then we must protect ourselves. We're going to see how the devil wants us to believe a lie. He's going to deceive us. And then we're going to see how we can detox from all of these things that we see around us, all the money, all the things, all the greed, all the lust that comes from owning possessions. We're going to look at 9 verses tonight, okay? And it's going to be a little weird, but I'm hoping that it'll all come together for you guys. I'm actually going to be reading verse 19 through 24, and then we're going to come back and read verses 16 through 18, because it's going to work, I promise. And we're actually going to end this thing by talking about fasting, and I'm hoping it's all going to come together for us, and you guys are going to get the gist of it. So let's open up to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 19 through 24, and then 16 through 18. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I'm going to go to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to be men fasting. Assuredly, I say, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so you do not appear to be men fasting, but your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Our first point of the night is going to be called The Present Danger. Now, according to various news sources that I've looked at, the biggest threat against the United States is terrorism. We live in a post-9/11 world where everybody's asking not if there'll be another terrorist attack, but when will be the next terrorist attack. And yes, I believe that terrorism is a big threat to world peace. I do. But I think even more than terrorism, yes, even more than terrorism, I believe that materialism and being preoccupied with this present world is more dangerous. We're going to focus in on verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves can break in and steal. You could change up lay up treasures for store up. Okay? This is as good as a commandment. He says, do not store up for yourself earthly treasures. I told you, I think that everybody else thinks that terrorism is the biggest threat. But for us, it's got to be this materialism and being preoccupied with the present time. Now, living in New Mexico, we have so many casinos, right? You guys see them all over the place. It's not hard to see materialism, right? And materialism is defined as this tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values. Now, I'm going to go as far to say that at one point in all of our lives, we've all been guilty of this. We've all been guilty of putting things before God. Maybe you're asking, how do we put things before God? Well, by pursuing God less than we pursue other things. And here's the deal, you guys. I know what it's like to be at school, right? I know the pressure you're at school. I know the pressure to wear the right clothes, to have the right things. I mean, you can't watch TV, get on the internet, listen to secular music without this idea that possessions is what life's all about being shoved in your face, right? And it can be enticing because without those things, without the possessions that everybody has in this world, it makes you feel left behind. You know, there's treatment facilities in Albuquerque. I did a little bit of research and found out that there's treatment facilities for people who have spending addictions. And maybe this isn't a big deal to you. Maybe you're fine without the best of things. Good for you. I'm glad that God has shown you that that's not important. But you still must realize our culture's problem, because you're in the middle of this culture and you're going to be talking to people in this culture. We can't turn our back on it. And especially Christians, because here's the deal. There's a lot of people out there who aren't Christians, because you want to know why? Because they already have a God. They already serve another God. They already serve money and possessions. And I'm not even going to lie to you guys. The reason why I am in Albuquerque right now, the reason why I'm in here is because I came down here searching for money. I got offered a job that paid more money than my job in Colorado. And so I said, not being the pastor, by the way, this was my previous job. But here's the deal. I was like, oh, you want to pay me more money? Sure. I was willing to leave my family. I was willing to leave the place that I loved more than anything, Colorado. I was willing to leave all of that behind because they were willing to pay me more money. And that's a dangerous place to be. You know, some of your guys' parents in here make a lot of money. You live very comfortable. Praise God. But let me ask you a question. What if your parents tonight lost their job? Both of them, maybe. Would you freak out because they lost their job, or would you freak out because they lost their job and now they don't have any money to buy you things anymore? Or maybe for those of you whose parents, maybe they don't have a lot of money, what if overnight you became a millionaire? What if overnight your parents became a millionaire? What would you be thinking about? Would you be happy because God's just good and God provides? Or would you be like super excited and joyful only because you knew, dude, if mom and dad have $1 million, I'm going to get some new stuff, right? You see, it's dangerous to do that. And this is why Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures where moth and rust can destroy, where robbers can come in and steal. He's saying, what's so great about having stuff that can get messed up? You guys remember, yeah, I'm sure you've all been this way. Like, you get something that you really like. I'm the same way. We've all been this way, right? And you're like, we can't mess this up. Like, you get new shoes and you're like, I can't even wear these outside. Dude, when I was a kid, I'm not even kidding you, I got like the most amazing pair of Michael Jordan shoes, dude. And they were all white with just a little bit of red on the side. Dude, I used to like put those things in my bag, put them on at school, take them off, so that like they didn't even go outside, right? And that's how you are for like 2 weeks. But then after that 2 weeks goes by, you're like stomping in mud puddles just to have fun. You're like, oh, I'm not really worried about these shoes anymore, right? Because you don't really care anymore. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, dude, those cons that you love so much, they're going to get dirty. They're going to get destroyed. Your iPhone, it's going to break. Hey, at any time, a thief or a robber can take anything that's most valuable to you. It's all going to get messed up, so why worship these things? Possessions make horrible gods. You know, you can't pray to your skateboard, right? You can't pray to your favorite clothes. I mean, I guess you can, but guess what? Your board doesn't have ears. It's not listening, and your clothes don't have a mouth. They're not going to speak back to you, right? So if that's the truth, why are we stockpiling so much stuff? Why are we worshiping possessions? After materialism, excuse me, that's hard for me to say right now, I said the next danger that we face is this idea that it's all about the here and now. Jesus says, don't stockpile for yourself treasures on earth. Now, earth can be symbolized as the present time, right? Because we're all on earth. And compared to what we're going to do in eternity, our time here on earth is but just a couple of moments, really. And Jesus wants you to remember that you're here on earth only for a short amount of time. And I hope you guys remember that. Because anything that you desire apart from God himself will only last but a few moments. I remember I was at a friend's house when I was in high school. And we were just hanging out, having a good time. And we left my friend's house and we saw this huge black smoke in the air. And we're like, whoa, that's crazy. You know, this must be a gigantic fire. So, you know, what do we do? Of course, let's go find it. And so we're like, get in the car, like, you know, fire chaser. And we're driving out and we're starting to get closer and closer to my friend Andrew's house. And he just looks at me and says, it's my house. And we're like, no, it's not, dude, shut up. He's like, I just have this feeling it's my house. We went there, his house was completely on fire. I'm not talking like little fire, I'm talking like the thing was almost completely gone by this point, like serious fire going on. But here's the deal. We never thought that that would happen. We walk through life saying, like, dude, other people's houses burned down, but no one I know's house burned down. Those things don't happen. But it's true. We should live like everything that we own could burn down at a simple moment. I like this thing right here. I like this thing. It's pretty fun. I like to teach on it. I like to play with it. But guess what? It could blow up or break at any moment. And that's why I don't worship it. I worship God. And I love my skis. Skis are real important, and I love it. I spend a lot of time on skis in the wintertime, but they could be stolen or taken or at any moment. So I don't worship them. They're not my God. Some of you guys, maybe you worship family members and friends, and I'm glad you love them, because next to worshiping God, serving one another is the most important thing. But as sad as it is, and it is sad, your friends and family members can be gone like that too. The Lord is the only thing that we can hope and trust in. And He wants us to never forget that all the things of this world will pass away. And He wants us to focus on the future. Which brings us to our second point, called the future glory. You guys ever had to save up to buy something you really wanted? Probably a lot of you guys in here, right? You guys know how it is. You spend all this time saving your money, right? And then finally, that one day you've been waiting for, like D-Day, you're like, I got all the money I need for this thing. And you're like, the greatest feeling as you go and finally purchase that thing that you've been waiting so long for. But here's the deal. We can make this comparison on how we get to heaven as well. Let's look at verse 20. It says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So Jesus says, hey, don't stockpile stuff on earth, but do it in heaven, actually. Now, maybe you're thinking, how am I going to stockpile stuff in heaven? Can I, like, send FedEx to heaven? Is that possible? No, it's not. And if you guys can remember, many rulers of this world at one time or another tried to do that, right? They would bury themselves with all their things. They'd even kill their servants and have them buried with them so that in the afterlife they thought, oh, you can be my servant there too. And they'd bring everything they could, thinking that, hey, I can just send all my stuff that's on earth up into the sky with me. But Jesus is clearly showing us that the things here on earth you cannot take with you. But then what does he mean by storing up treasures in heaven? Well, it means a few things. I want to point out three of them. The first thing is this. He means put all your hope in God, whose glory dwells in heaven. You know, God is omnipresent, right? Everywhere. But as much as God is everywhere, the Bible says that his throne is in heaven, right? So heaven is like where the majority, where the most awesome parts of God dwell. And just like we said, why put all your love into things that can only be stolen or destroyed? So Jesus makes a contrast here, saying that the things of earth are destructible, but the things of heaven are untouchable. Heaven is like a bank vault guarded by God's holy angels. It's really what it's like. No one is ever going to destroy anything in heaven. So we should remember that the future glory of heaven is so much more important than what's going on here on earth. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you must have a place in heaven. If Jesus says, stockpile your stuff in heaven, well then there must be a place for you. God wants you to store up stuff there. If you remember what Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. How exciting! You have a place in heaven. I have a place in heaven. We have a residence waiting for us right now. Jesus also said, I tell you the truth, in my Father's house are many mansions. Yes, please, right? I'll take that. Get to hang out with God face to face. And if you're a believer right now in Christ, when you die, you will get to go to that place. And right now, as you live, God has already prepared that place for you. There's a place right now in heaven that's got your little name on it and your little expiration date on it, just waiting for you to get up there. But it's already reserved for us as believers. And the last thing is, yes, storing up your treasures does mean to put all your hope and joy in the future into God. But the Bible also talks about something that we've spoken about before, rewards. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, your labor is not in vain. You see, all that stuff that's going on at your school, all those times you get made fun of, all those times you get beat up, everything that's going on, that's not in vain. God will pay you back for all that pain that you've gone through. And there's so many places that talk about rewards. Just in the last couple of weeks, we saw about giving and praying. And when you do that, God says, I will reward you for doing those things. And the greatest reward, though, that we could ever have is personal, intimate fellowship with God in heaven. Dude, you and God are going to be roommates in heaven. That's amazing. In your house that he's waiting for you to come into. So every time you guys are tempted to do a sinful thing or to turn your back on God or to do evil, I want you to think about that heavenly future place that's waiting for you guys. And give it all. Live totally for the Lord. And when you don't get something that you want right now, don't worry. It's not going to be like that forever. Remember that all of the riches and mercies are hidden in Christ. He has all of the riches, right? God's not bouncing checks. God's house isn't in foreclosure. God's not in trouble right now, you guys. He's completely fine. He's completely self-sufficient. And just remember, as you do these things, that your time here on earth is but a mere couple of seconds compared to eternity. But here's the deal. We're not in heaven yet, and therefore we must protect ourselves. That brings us to our third point called protect yourself. Now, there's very few sports that don't require pads, right? I remember this time. I used to play soccer in high school. And my friend Connor, he didn't have shin guards. And of course, you know, you can't play without shin guards. So my friend Connor, being the guy that he is, took two spiral notebooks and duct taped them on his shins and then put his socks over. And you know, the referee would always come over and like kick your shins to make sure that like you're good. You know, he's got his cleats on. And here's my friend Connor with two spiral notebooks on his legs. And he's just like, get out of here. You know what I mean? He's just like, that's insane. But although that was better than nothing, and the Bible does speak of the armor of God in Ephesians 6, we also need to protect ourselves when it comes to worshiping possessions. And there's two places that we need to protect. Let's look at verse 22 and 23, and then I'm going to read 21. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Back to 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the first thing we need to protect is our eyes. And I don't mean like glasses that filter out the sun, but I mean that your eyes need to be able to filter out sin. You guys all live in a house or an apartment, right? Now, no matter what size of a place you have, the doorway is always smaller than the rest of the house. But it's through that smaller access point, it's through the door that everything comes in, right? People, possessions, groceries, everything must come through the door. Now, on a spiritual level, your eye is like that access point. It's like the doorway to your entire body. Now think about this, okay? Think about what if your parents decided, you know what, we're just never going to close the door again. Let's just take this thing off the hinges. Let's just throw it away. We're going to have an open door all the time. Well, what would happen, right? Well, anything that passed by, right? Animals, friends, criminals, anything from the outside world could clearly just freely come on into your house. Well, the same thing is happening to many of us with our eyes. We're leaving our eyes unguarded. And all that dirt and filth from the world is coming into our bodies. What kind of dirt and filth? Well, maybe TV shows that you shouldn't be watching. Maybe you're lusting after that certain person. Maybe pornography on the internet. Whatever else it is, when it comes through your doorway, through your eye, then it affects your whole body. Simply by closing the door at your house, you would be able to protect yourself from many things of the outside world. Clear, right? Now, I'm not saying that you should walk around with your eyes closed. That could be pretty dangerous, right? But what I'm saying is that you need to shut the door on sinful things. Maybe you're thinking, well, what does this have to do with possessions? The point is that whatever you set your focus on with your eyes, you tend to worship and seek after. That's why lust is such a big problem for some of us, because you can't stop and you don't stop looking at that person, and then that becomes part of what you desire. That's why you can't get your mind off of whatever it is that you want, because you spend hours looking at it through a magazine or hours looking at it on the internet. That's why so many people we see are so discontented with their bodies. Because they sit here in a magazine and say, oh man, I wish I had that, and oh, and that hair, and I wish I had that, and I'm just going to sit here and look at it, look at it, look at it, until finally I've just looked at it so much that it's penetrated my entire body. And now it's all I desire. You see, whatever your eye does, your body does. So if you're lustful and greedy with your eyes, then guess what? Now your body is corrupt and lust and desires more things of that. And you think it'll make you happy, but it won't. So how do we protect our eyes? You protect your eyes by knowing what tempts you and turning away. And not like this, like, oh, I'm not looking, like, no, that's cool. I can't even see it, right? Like, no, like, that's the comparison, though. That's what we do sometimes. We think, like, oh, I only looked at that magazine for, like, 3 minutes. That's just, like, peeking at it. It's not like I, like, totally studied it, or I only lusted after that guy, just a quick little look at him, and then turned away. So it's okay. It's just kind of like peeking. No, it's not okay. We need to take a stand. We shouldn't be okay with even a little bit of that. If you're looking at pornography or you're looking at beauty magazines and hating yourself, then stop it. Throw it away. Have the guts to throw it away. Don't use the computer alone. Tell a leader, tell a friend, tell me, tell any of us, and let's begin to heal. Let's begin to stop looking at these things that have a hold of your whole being. After we need to protect our eyes, there's a second thing we need to protect. Because our eyes are the gateway to the heart, and that's the second thing that we need to protect. Let's read verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you see sinful things and desire them, it's because your eye is almost like connected right to your heart. It's like almost as if you can't even tell, but spiritually there's this little thing that goes right from your eye and right into your heart. So if your heart, the Bible says, is where you hold your treasures, where you hold the things that are most important to you, then my question to you is, what is in your heart? A friend? A family? Your favorite this? Your favorite that? Is it money? Is it status? Do you keep popularity in your heart? Do you have hatred in your heart? Evil in your heart? Because if you do, the only thing that should be filled with your heart is Jesus. Maybe you're saying, well, I've filled my heart with other things because I haven't found God yet. And you know, God's just not around. And I've been trying real hard, but he doesn't do anything for me. Okay, well, that's why in Jeremiah 29, God tells us, you know when you'll find me? He says, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. All of your heart. Sometimes you guys all know how it feels. We all know the truth here. Sometimes you feel disconnected from God. It's just the way it is sometimes. But here's what you can do. Because God says, you'll find me when you search me with all of your heart. God wants it all. God wants to know the danger that you're facing, right? And so if you feel disconnected, here's what you can do. You can either say, okay, well, is God consuming my heart? Well, if he is, then don't worry about it. He's close. He's near. He's right there. He loves you. Everything's perfectly fine. You're just feeling weird. It's not like he's far. He's right there. But if you search your heart and you say, you know what? My heart isn't consumed with Jesus. I have all this other stuff in there. Well, then there is some sort of a disconnect there. Because God says, all of your heart. I want all of it. And trying to love God and possessions is a deception. And that brings us to our next point called the deception of the devil. Now, to be deceived means to believe that something isn't true. To believe that something that's told to you that they want you to believe that it's true when it really isn't true. Let's see what Satan wants us to believe is true. Let's read verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I'll be the first one to admit that I've been deceived this way by Satan. I've heard this lie before. I believed this lie before, that I can serve God and the world. And Satan wants you to believe, the deception he wants you to believe, that it's okay to be a Christian and still caught up in materialism. Now, back in this time when Jesus is talking, there were servants. And the servants were always the property of the master. They're usually treated well. They usually were there on their own time, or excuse me, by their own will. Now, most of the time, but this was their full-time job. They worked for this master 24/7. They could never go get another job. So if they belonged to their master each and every day, it is impossible for them to get another job, right? And that's the comparison that he's making here. That just as a servant belongs to his master, we who have been saved by Jesus Christ belong to our master. We are his each day. We are his every day. The Bible says we weren't purchased with money, you guys. We were purchased by the precious blood of Christ. That to be bought back from sin, Jesus died for that. And therefore, because he purchased us, we are his. But Satan wants you to believe that as long as you're mostly a follower of God, as long as you're doing like 95% good in your life, that it's okay to use that other 5% for anything else you want to do in your life. Right? But God says, no, 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 you cannot serve God or mammon. Mammon is riches or money. Basically says you can't serve God and money. You cannot be caught up in the world desiring riches and money and then try to love God too. It doesn't work. You belong to him. You are his. To serve another God is like for that servant to get up in the middle of the night, sneak out of his master's house, go get another job, work for that a couple hours, and then come back and tell his master that he was there the whole night, right? It's impossible. He can't do that. He's breaking the law. And the reason he says you can't do this is because you'll either hate one and then love the other. And that's very true. You see, we can't do that either. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you should be content with such things as you have. The Bible says that you should be content with things like food and clothing. Okay? So that's the God side. Be content with what you have. You should be content with only food and clothing, technically. And then the world says this. Get more. Get as much as you can. You need more. Your stuff is lame. Get better stuff. Make more money. Get more stuff. Right? Get more friends. Get more popular. So how could you balance all that? How could you be get more and Jesus says be happy with what you got when the world says don't be happy with what you got? You see that? It's impossible to do that. It's two very different statements. You can't do both. You'll either love the world because and then hate God, or you'll love God and then hate the world, which is a good thing, but you can't do both. It's impossible. Those are two very different statements. Trust me, I learned it the hard way. I'll give you a personal experience. Kevin asked me to take this job as the Velocity pastor, it was a scary moment. I've had a well-paying job for a long time in my life. And I decided this is what God wanted me to do. So I was like, I'm going for it. I'm going to quit my job that I've had for a long time. I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to do this. And then doubt started to creep in like a week later, and I started thinking, well, maybe I'll still work part-time at my other job because I get paid so well over there. I'll be able to make a lot of money over there and still be over here. Yeah, that's a great idea. And then another week went by before I had to quit, and I was like, well, maybe I'll work half of the time there and half of the time here. That way I can make even more money. And then I clearly saw God showing me, you can't do this. I had some of the worst days of my entire life. I like to feel that I can take a lot, but these days were like the worst days of my life. Like, I just was like so miserable. And it was because I was trying to hold on to this idea that I can stay here and make all this money and serve the Lord over here. Ah, win, win, win. But I had to step out on faith, and God always provided for me. And I left that job, and I'm so glad I did. And if any of you guys are believing that lie right now, that you can love God maybe and steal things or take whatever you want or do whatever you have to do to get what you want, then you're being deceived by Satan. And guess what? Jesus wants you to detox from that. He wants you to not believe that. That brings us to our last point called the detox from the drug. I did some research and I found out a very sad fact. Just within 10 miles of this church, there are 30 drug treatment facilities. 30. That's a lot. And people spend time in drug treatment facilities, as you know, to detox from drugs. Now, detox is just short for detoxification, which means this: the process of removing toxic substances or qualities. Did you hear that? The process of removing a toxic quality. That's what many of us need to do in here right now. This obsession with possession. Because obsession with possession or obsession with anything apart from God is addicting. It is. It's very much a drug that affects our entire being. Now, praying is one way, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Praying is always a great thing that you can do to rid yourself of a toxic quality, of something that you should get rid of in your life. But this is where I'm going to wrap it up with fasting, because I believe that there's a reason why right here in the Sermon on the Mount that we're still in and we've been in for so long, that Jesus talks about fasting and then he goes right into talking about possessions and worry. Worry we'll look at next week, but I think there's a reason why he talks about fasting and then he talks about possessions, and I'm going to try to get you guys to explain that or to understand that. So let's read verse 16 through 19 one more time. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to be men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to be men fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Okay, so fasting can be a detox from our addiction to material things. First off, I need to give a disclaimer, because I know there's a lot of potentially people out here who deal with eating disorders, and I just want to put it out there. Don't ever say that you're fasting to cover up for that. If you're someone who struggles with an eating disorder or a problem, we love you. Please come talk to us. If you're embarrassed, don't be. Email us. We'll get in touch with you. Fasting is to be done by Christians who are healthy, and I would say for all of you in here, with your parents' discretion, okay? Because it can be dangerous. But this is by no means going to be, I'm by no means going to talk a lot about fasting here. This is not going to be very informative. But fasting was done by people throughout the Bible, all the way from Adam to Jesus fasted. And there were these periods of time, mostly from sunup to sundown, and it was usually associated with mourning, not like mourning time, but like sadness and grieving. Now, many people, the hypocrites, as we just saw, have seen, just like we did with prayer, we saw with prayer and with giving, they would fast for the wrong reasons. They would fast, and at many times they would actually put white powder on their faces and walk around the city and just look like, oh, their face was so, right? All disfigured, and they were just like, and people would look at them and be like, look at this man. He doesn't eat or drink for so many hours just to bless God, just to show that he's fully dependent on God. What a holy man. And we talked about that with giving and with prayer. That's a hypocrite, and God does not reward those kinds of people. But the thing I want to do is I want to take the principles that go along with fasting and put them into what we're talking about here when it comes to possessions and materialism. Because the first thing that fasting does is this, all right? Listen. It takes our focus off God, our focus off us and on to God. If you guys have ever been hungry, it is so hard to do anything else when you're hungry, right? In fact, it was so funny, because as I was writing that very verse, Lisa went out and got some food for us, and I was just like, where's that muffin, right? I'm just like starving, like I just like couldn't wait for it, right? But hunger is this physical need of the body. And it's a fact that we need food and water to survive. But fasting can be a very cleansing and purifying time, because instead of focusing in on your needs of the body, now you focus on God to sustain yourself for the time that you're not eating or drinking. But the point is to focus on God. Because the whole time you fast, if you're like, oh, my stomach, I'm so hungry, and oh, I wish I had a McMuffin or something, you know, it doesn't work. Then you're making it about yourself and not God. But here's the deal. Just as we can fast from food and water to show that we can rely only on God to sustain us, I think when it comes to our possessions, we too can fast from them. to show that we don't live off of material things. We don't live on these possessions. These things don't give us any life. I want you to think about this and be just literally let this soak in. This week, I want to challenge you. That one thing that you do so much, maybe it's a video game, maybe it's a magazine, maybe it's the computer, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's anything but God himself that is really important to your life, that you really enjoy and you really love to do. Maybe it's skating, maybe it's dancing, no matter what it is, I want you to challenge you to take a week off from it. Just Monday through Friday. Because here's what it would do. It would show you and it would show God that that thing isn't your source of joy. That yes, you enjoy to do those things, but it isn't all you are. That skating's not all I am. I can take Monday through Friday off from skating and then come back and do it. Because it's God who sustains me, not skating. And that friend, I love that friend. She's my friend. But are you relying on that friend too much and not relying on God? Could you go a whole week without talking to that person and let God sustain you just like you would with fasting from food? So the second thing, after putting our focus onto God, that fasting does, it does this. It lets you enjoy things more. You know, we did a famine here. We did a fast in last fall. And after that fast, I've never been so happy and joyful. Like, we got Italian food, and the whole time I was like, oh man, breadsticks, thank you, Jesus. Oh dude, salad, God, you're so good. And we're just like all like sitting together like, you're so good, God, we love you. And we're just like macking down all this food, right? But it made me realize what a blessing food is. Something that we take for granted throughout the whole week. You guys, here's what I don't want you to get. I don't want you to get the impression that everything that you love to do in this world, that you need to get rid of all those things. You don't. If they're sinful, you need to get rid of them. But if they're not sinful, then God has given you those things to enjoy. God wants you to dance, and God wants you to skate, and God wants you to play with your iPod, and wants you to do all those things because you enjoy them, and he loves to see you enjoy things. But the problem is we can never let them take the place of God. And sometimes that's what we let these things do. We do these things for hours every day, but we only spend 15 minutes with God. And we do so many things throughout our day, and we just totally, completely forget about the Lord. That's when it becomes a problem, right? The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of it. And so money's not even wrong in itself. It's when you love it. When it takes the place of God, and nothing, probably a lot of those things that you enjoy to do outside of school and all those are great things, but when they take the place of God, then it's the same thing. For the love of skateboarding is the root of all evil. Skateboarding's not the root of all evil, but when you love it more than you love God, then it is. And when you give it more time than you give God, but I'm not just picking on skaters, by the way. You can put in whatever, basketball, football, whatever it is you do. But God has given you friends to enjoy and things to enjoy, but we can never let them take his place. And so I want to ask you this question. Have you thanked God every day? Because it's tough, because when we just continue to eat our meals and everything's just happening as normal, we think this is just normal. This is just what we're entitled to, right? But we're not. Have you thanked God for food and a house and friends and things and family? Because if we're careful, then we can do all these things and we can enjoy these things while we still love God. But if we're not careful, then we start to think that we're entitled to these things. That all of a sudden I need all these things. That, hey, I'm supposed to just have a cell phone. That's how life is these days. I need this. I need that. But that's not true. I just told you the Bible says be content with food and clothing. It doesn't say even shelter. Your house is a gift from God. And so when you don't make these things your God, you realize that they are from God. And that they belong to him. And then he can take away whatever he wants and add whenever he wants. And you're going to enjoy these things so much more, you guys, I promise. You're going to skate like you never did before. You're going to thank the Lord every single time. Just like when I was eating that meal, I was like, oh, praise the Lord, right? Because I finally remembered that this isn't what I'm entitled to. This is a blessing from the Lord. You'll be so much more thankful. You won't seek after money and possessions. You'll be thankful for all you have. So, does the world run on money? I think it does, but that's why we're not of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're to be different. We're to be set apart. And so we should be known for this. We should be known as those who aren't worried over what we think we lack on here on earth, because we're so focused on the future that it's all about heaven. And I pray that you guys will protect yourself this week, meaning protect your eyes and your heart. Don't let the things of this world get inside of you. And if you believe this lie that you can serve two masters, whatever it is you're serving right now, I pray that you would detox from that, that you would give that thing up. I really do want to challenge you guys to do that, though, this week. The Bible says, choose whom this day you will serve. Each day it is a decision for us to decide who we will serve. And so are you going to serve God with all your heart? Or are you going to serve the God of this world, which is greed, Satan? Will it be the Prince of Peace, Jesus, who can give you peace, and even if you had nothing else but Jesus, you should have plenty because he is everything? Or will you be possessions, which can be taken from you at any moment, which can be burned up in a second? I want to leave you with the words of in 1 John chapter 2, and this is a modern translation. Don't love this world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way and wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting and wanting and wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants, he is set for eternity. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, I pray that we would be, Father, as we talked about today, Lord, that we would be known. We'd be people who are known from being different, Lord. And though we are in this world and we're in this materialistic world, Father, that we would not be people who are known for it. We're people for doing different things. The people who are telling everybody that, dude, we don't need anything but Jesus. We can sustain ourselves on that. And Father, I pray that you would just help us lose that attitude of it's all about me and it's all about here. We would put it on the focus on it's all about you. And we can't wait for heaven. Father, I pray that if anybody in here is dealing with any sort of sin in their life, Father, the secret sin, that you would just let them know, Father, that they cannot fill their heart with two things. Father, you desire to know them and have them completely, and for their heart to be completely 100% yours, Father. We thank you for this night. In Jesus' name.